I suspect even though we are only in the first week of the new year, that many of you are already and have already been doing this for some time, making plans for different things that are going to happen in your life this coming year. I suspect some of you have probably already started thinking about where you might vacation later on this year. You may have already bought some tickets. You may have already made a reservation. You may have already sent in something that needs to be done in order to reserve a condo or a site or whatever it is that you may be doing later on this year. Maybe you've sent in some money or you've reserved something online. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I suspect some of you are already doing that. You're already thinking about a vacation maybe, or a family reunion. Maybe you have a family reunion coming up later this year, and you're already thinking about who's going to be there and maybe what you're going to do and how nice it's going to be to see someone that maybe you haven't seen in a long, long time. Depending upon the job that you have, some of you are probably already thinking about things that are going to take place in your place of employment later on this year, right? Depending again upon the job and where you work, maybe if you're in retail, you already are thinking about maybe when you're going to have a big sale or a big push to move certain merchandise, or you may already know when it is that you're going to have a big day at the place where you work. And maybe if you're an owner, you already know maybe what kind of activities you're going to have at different times in the year, different sales, so on and so forth. Some of you may be anticipating a job change. And so maybe you're already thinking about how that's going to work. Maybe you're going to be given a promotion and you're thinking about how that's going to impact you and how it might change your life. Some of you may be thinking about changing jobs. And so maybe you're thinking about how to do that and how that's going to work and how that's going to change your life and how that's going to play out when it comes time for you to make that move or make that change. Maybe some of you have got a big day coming up this year. How many? I won't ask, but maybe we've got somebody turning 16 this year, and they're going to get their driver's license later on sometime this year, and that would be kind of maybe over here in this section. I don't know, but maybe some of them are already thinking about how that's going to change their life. Maybe you're going to graduate this year, and you're already thinking about how that's going to change and maybe where you're going to go and what you're going to do and maybe where you have to move and different things are going to take place along that time of your life. And so maybe you're already thinking about some of those changes and some of those plans that you're having to make for that big day. You get the point? Some of you, I'm sure, you're already playing out scenarios, different scenarios in the coming year of how things are going to play out and how your life is going to be impacted by different things over the next few weeks, maybe in next few months, as this year evolves and plays out. Amidst the many plans that most of us are already making, what plans are we making? What thoughts are we mulling over in our mind in regard to our life with Christ? Wouldn't it be kind of foolish to make plans for a vacation, to make plans for something at work, to give thought to a special day that's going to come up sometime later this year, and yet in the midst of those thoughts, not really give any thought to, you know, what do I need to do this year as a disciple? What am I going to do to really facilitate my growth as a follower of Jesus? What are some things I want to do this coming year as a disciple of Jesus? Why do we not think those thoughts as well? Maybe you are, and if you are, that's great. But sometimes, isn't it so easy? We get consumed with all of these things that are going on, our vacations, our work, different things in our life. And yet things that impact us spiritually often go unthought of. And we just kind of go through the week, and the week turns into the month, and the month turns into the year, and we just kind of coast. Got a word for it this morning. We just kind of drift. We just kind of drift spiritually. How many of us are giving some thoughts to this coming year as to, you know, what do I need to do to amp up my walk with Christ? What do I need to do to keep moving in a positive direction in my spiritual life? Is that even on the radar? Should it be on the radar? Well, I think the answer to that question, obviously, you would expect this from a preacher. But yeah, we should be having those kinds of thoughts too. We should be thinking about our walk this coming year and what it's going to look like, and what can I do to really flourish as a disciple this coming year, and what are some things I might need to change, and what are some things I might need to implement, and where are some areas that I might need to work on so that as this year unfolds, my walk with Jesus flourishes and grows and matures in a positive, healthy, productive way. That is, after all, what's supposed to be happening in my life and in your life as a follower of Jesus. Scripture makes it abundantly clear that we are to be in the process as disciples of Christ. We're in to be an upward trajectory. We're to be growing and maturing as followers of Jesus, not coasting and drifting. Did you know that practically every single letter we have in the New Testament that was addressed to a church contains in that letter numerous admonitions and instructions and encouragement for those particular Christians to grow in their walk and to develop fully into the image of Christ? Every single letter you can think of that was addressed to a church will have somewhere in that letter encouragement to those who were receiving that letter for them to grow and to mature as followers of Jesus. Just for example, Galatians, in his letter to the churches in Galatia, Paul compared his desire for Christ being formed in them to that of a woman experiencing the pains of childbirth. Paul wrote, "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you." Paul's desire that those disciples in Galatia be formed in the image of Christ was so intense, he compared it to that of the pains a woman feels in childbirth. How many moms have we got in here today? That's several. How intense was that pain you felt during childbirth? Pretty intense? All right. Paul says that's how much I desire for you as disciples in Galatia. That's how much I intensely feel. That's what I compare my feelings, he says, to for my desire for you to grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, some of you women are thinking, yeah, he don't know what he's talking about at all. He doesn't have a clue. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. But you get the point he's making. Paul desperately wanted those disciples spread throughout the region of Galatia. He wanted Christ to be fully formed in them. In the letter that he wrote to the church at Galatia, Paul said, "He, Christ, is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. That word strenuous there is an athletic word. It's the straining of an athlete as he or she trains their body in order to compete, in order to win the prize for which they were competing. Paul says, I'm like an athlete strenuously training. I am doing everything I can to accomplish this. And what was it that he was trying to accomplish? He was trying to help those disciples in the church at Colossae to fully mature in Jesus. He was burning up energy. All the energy he had that Christ had given him, had placed in him, he was burning it all up out of an effort and a desire to help those disciples to fully mature in Jesus. It wasn't just the Apostle Paul who was concerned about this. To Jewish disciples scattered among the nations, James wrote, don't just listen to the word, do it. And the idea there is keep on doing it. Don't just do it once and stop, but keep on putting into practice the word of God that is in your life. Keep on doing that. Don't be like a person who looks in the mirror and then walks away and forgets what he looks like. Keep putting into practice everything it is that you're learning in the word of God. In other words, keep growing. Don't coast. Don't settle. Keep pushing. Keep growing. Keep developing as a follower. And then there's this that I'm sure many of you are familiar with. Peter wrote to the disciples he was working with these words, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your life. If you possess these qualities in ever increasing measure, the idea there is you're growing, you're getting better, you're getting more self-controlled, you're learning how to love better. In increasing measure. So, bottom line, what are all of these scriptures? And there are many others that I could share with you, but these make the point. Practically every letter we have in the New Testament addressed to a first century church contains references to and encouragement regarding the importance and necessity of disciples growing and maturing in their walk and in the likeness of Jesus. Paul, James, Peter, they all wanted the disciples they were working with to mature and grow up in their faith and in their likeness of Jesus. In fact, every spiritual leader, whether ancient or modern, wants the same thing. And that is to see those that they're leading to grow and mature in their walk with Jesus. And that includes those of us whom God has placed in positions of leadership within this church family as well. Speaking on behalf of the other ministers on the ministerial team, and on behalf of our shepherds, I promise you this. Your walk with Christ is important to us. I don't see Jake, but I'm pretty sure he'd shake his head if he were here. I don't see Jan, but I think she'd shake her head if she were here. Elders, raise your hand. Is the walk of the people surrounding you this morning, is it important? Yes. Yes. Your life as a follower of Jesus is important to us. We want to see you grow. We want to see you flourish as a disciple. From Danny all the way over to Nathan, to everybody here this morning, and even those that aren't here but who are part of our family, here's what we desire for you this year, is that you become more like Jesus this year. Is that in your spirit you grow, you mature, you move farther down that road than you've ever been before. That's what we most want to see happen in your life this coming year. So, in addition to all the other plans you're making, and it's okay to think about sunny beaches in Florida or wherever you might go. It's okay to think about a big family reunion and who you're looking forward to see. It's okay to think about the things that are going on at your place of employment. All of those are good things. But in the midst of all of those things this morning that are revolving around in your mind as you're thinking about today and this week and the year to come and things that are important to you that are on your heart that you're already thinking about that may not even happen for weeks or even months, may not even happen till later this year, toward the end of the year, but you're already thinking about them. In addition to all of those things, we urge you to also think about your walk with Christ this coming year and what you might need to do as a follower of Jesus to make that walk all that it can be. Folks, it is our walk with Christ. That's who we are. We are disciples of Jesus. And as disciples of Jesus, we just can't afford to take that relationship with Jesus for granted. There's a scripture behind me on the screen, Hebrews 2 and verse 1, that is so very important. There the Hebrew writer said, "We must pay the most careful attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away." We must pay the most careful attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. It is disturbingly easy to drift spiritually. But that is a dangerous thing to do. I don't have any scientific evidence to back this statement up. It's all anecdotal, but I believe it to be true. In pretty much every situation where I know anything about the situation, no one who has stopped walking with Jesus ever just got up one morning and said, "Okay, I think today is the day I'm going to stop caring about my spiritual life. Today is the day I'm going to stop walking with Jesus." It doesn't happen that way. Here's how it happens. It happens slowly, gradually. Over time, we kind of begin to drift. And we stop doing things that feed our spirit. Maybe we stop assembling together with other Christians. And that's one reason why the Hebrew writer is so adamant about not forsaking the assembling together of believers. It's so important. We just kind of drift and drift and drift and drift. And then one day, it just really doesn't matter all that much anymore. But that process started way back here when we first started to just kind of drift. We just kind of mailed it in. We just kind of took things for granted. Well, my parents always believed, and my grandparents always believed, and so I guess I'll always believe. And we just kind of fall into this false sense of security, but we're not really intentional. We're not really feeding ourselves. We're not really thinking about it. We're just kind of going along with the flow. And folks, that is so dangerous because we just drift and we just drift and we just drift and we just drift. And one day we wake up and we're a long, long way away from where we first started in our walk with Jesus. Spiritual drifting is dangerous. And so here's the thing. We don't want you to drift this year. We don't want you to just kind of coast through this year. We want to help you to flourish and to grow and to experience real growth and vitality and energy and joy in your walk with Christ. We want to be able to come in here on Sunday mornings and just explode because we are so happy in our spirit with the Lord that it can't be contained. So what do we need to do that? How can we be thinking those thoughts? What do we need to do to avoid drifting spiritually this year? I'm so glad you asked me that question this morning because I've got several things to share with you here real quickly. All right, here we go. I'm going to give you five of them, and I'm going to come back and just kind of talk briefly about each one, and I promise to do it in a time-worthy fashion. All right, on your announcement sheet this morning that you received when you came in, there's a place there, and a lot of our note takers do this, and some of the rest of you may do it as well. There's five spaces there toward the end. We're going to go through these real quick. Number one. First of all, before I tell you what it is, how many of you know how much weight Marie Osmond has lost? Actually, some people know. I'll tell you why I know. I was sick earlier this week. Dane and I were sick, and on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, we were so sick, we didn't do anything. I don't recommend that way to bring in the new year, by the way. It's horrible. I actually had the flu, type A flu. I was diagnosed with it. I would not wish that on my worst enemy. It's horrible. But after a couple of days, you get a little bit better, and you at least feel like sitting up watching TV. So that's what we did, and that's why I know how much weight Marie Osmond has lost, because she was plastered all over the TV here the last few weeks. She's lost 50 pounds. Do you know how she did it? Nutrisystem. Man, look at you guys. All right. Do what? I know, she does it every year. It's this weird thing. She actually looks pretty good. I don't know what her age is, but she's looking pretty good. So good for her. She's lost 50 pounds. All right, here's the thing. You can package it up. You can make it look neat. You can get a nice, good-looking spokeswoman out there. But do you know when it comes to losing weight, it's basically boils down to two things. No matter how you package it, no matter how you sell it, no matter how you market it, no matter what you do, it's really all about two things. It's about what you eat, and it's about start moving around. I mean, that's basically it. Now, you can send me $100 if you want to for that advice. And that's cheaper than what you'll get if you do Nutrisystem through Marie Osmond. So if you want to take my advice, follow my advice. Isn't that it? That's basically it, right? Watch what you eat. Get moving. All right. If we want to move in a good, healthy direction this year in our walk with Jesus, there are two fundamental things. You can market them. You can spice them up. You can make it sound neat. You can get somebody that knows how to say things in a cool way. But it really boils down to two very simple things. Number one, get into the Word of God. And number two, do whatever it takes to make prayer a regular part of your life. Look, I get it. That's not sexy. That doesn't. I marketed that poorly. You know, I could have spiced it up some. I could have come up with some catchy phrase or whatever. But at the end of the day, it really is that simple. Find a way to get into the Word of God on a regular basis. And find a way to start making prayer a part of your life. And this can be a great year for you and your walk with Jesus. I know that doesn't sound all that great, and maybe you've heard that many, many times, but it's just simply fundamentally true. The Word of God is food for the disciple of Jesus. And without being judgmental toward any of you, my gut tells me some of you are starving to death because you're just not feeding on the Word of God. And you're just not listening to God when talking to Him. So, would you give that some thought? I don't know what to say in prayer. Hey, we got a wonderful thing going on right here. Jan's doing it through our Facebook page. 40 days of prayer. For 40 days, she will give you several things to think about in regards to prayer. List is also on the back wall as you're walking down the hallway. Right there it is. Well, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to pray about. Here you go. It's just right there. Plug it in. Start working that into your life. Google a Bible reading plan. There's millions of them. Just find one and start letting God's Word have His way in your life and fill your thoughts. It'll make a difference. It'll make a difference in where you go as a disciple this coming week. Number two, get connected with some believers outside this assembly. I got to go quickly. I love going to the gym. If you know me well, you know that. That's just kind of part of my life. I know I may not look like it, but I do. I spend pretty regular time in the gym. It makes me feel better mentally. It may not help me look any better physically, but it helps me mentally. All right, but here's the thing. Here's what your body will do in that area. Your body will get comfortable. And so periodically what you've got to do is you've got to change things up because your body gets comfortable with what you're doing. And when it gets comfortable, the benefits of doing what you're doing become less and less. So you've got to change things up a little bit to keep getting those gains, to keep getting the benefits of going to the gym. This is comfortable. This is comfortable. This is easy. But folks, if this is the only contact, I'm going to tell you, you can wipe it off, you can disbelieve it, you can say, oh, that's hogwash, I don't believe that, whatever. But I'm going to tell you, there are some things you need as a disciple of Jesus you can't get in this group that you can only get in a smaller, more life-on-life context with other people where you build relationships. See, here's the thing. You can sit in an assembly like this for decades and you won't build much of a relationship with the other people that are sitting in this room. You believe that? You can sit next to someone for 30 years within 20 to 25 feet of them and never really know them. And for them to never really know anything about you, maybe other than your name and maybe where you work. Now, that doesn't mean this is unimportant. This is important. What we do here is important. Blending our voices in praise to God, receiving instruction from the Word, sharing communion with each other, those are blessings that God wants us to have and enjoy and that we can only get in this kind of assembly. But there are some other things you need as a disciple that you can only get in smaller life-on-life contexts with other believers where you have a chance to build a relationship with someone. Because it's in a relationship with someone that we actually can practice and live out the one another passages that are found throughout Scripture, like love one another, encourage one another, pray for one another, forgive one another, accept one another, confess your sins to one another. Those one another passages are best lived out in smaller contexts where we're actually getting to know someone and they're getting to know us. But you know what? This is comfortable. And getting into a smaller group with someone is not comfortable for some people. I don't like that. I get it. But I think I need to tell you, if this is the only place you're spending time with other disciples of Jesus, you're missing out on some of the richest experiences you can have that will help you to really grow as a disciple of Jesus. And so get in a group this year that is smaller than this with some other Christians. It's like milk. It'll do you good if you'll do it. Number three, real quick, I got to kick these into gear. Who needs to be your Paul this year? Would you think about that? In other words, who is your Timothy? Timothy was Paul's son in the faith. Paul prayed for Timothy. He loved on Timothy. He encouraged Timothy. He mentored Timothy. He lived out his faith for Timothy to see and imitate and follow. Everybody needs a Paul and everybody needs a Timothy. Who can be your Timothy this year? Who can you pray for and encourage and love on and mentor and live out your faith for in such a way that they see it and want to imitate it and follow Jesus as they see you following Jesus in your life? Who can you be Paul for this coming year? As you pray for someone and love on someone and mentor someone and think about how you can live out your faith for them, that will not only bless them, it'll bless you. And it'll help you be a better follower of Jesus because you're thinking about someone else. Number four, what can you do? Think about this. What can you do this year to practice holiness in your life? Here's a scripture that ought to alarm every single one of us. Scripture says that none of us will see God without holiness. Where are you tempted to be unholy? Who tempts you to be unholy? What situations do you often find yourself in that often result in you being unholy and or acting in dishonorable ways toward God? Think about that. Before you get into that situation, think about, okay, you know, every time I get around this person, man, I end up doing things that I shouldn't do. Think about that before you get with that person. What do I need to do to not do that? Where do I not need to go? What do I not need to do? Think about those things. None of us, Scripture says, will see God without holiness. Where am I unholy? Where do I go wrong? What do I need to do? How do I need to prepare? What can I do to do better in that area in my life? Give some thought to that. Get some others involved in that so that together you can help them be holy as well. Number five, real quick, find some things you can do this year that will help and bless others. The heart of following Jesus is being a servant. So where can you serve? Where can I be a blessing to other people? Where can I plug in both in this church and in this community in ways that bless and help other people in real, tangible, practical ways? Man, if you need some ideas, just come talk to any of us. Talk to our deacons. Talk to those of us on staff. We can give you dozens of ideas and suggestions about where you might be needed, how you might bless someone in this church, how you might bless and be salt and light in this community. There's no lack of opportunities. They're abundant. It's just a matter of saying, okay, I'm going to do this year. I need to do this. I need to get out of my comfort zone. I need to get out of my shell. I need to do something that'll bless somebody else. What am I going to do? Think about it, figure it out, and then do it. Again, get out of the comfort zone. Let God put you in a place where He's going to stretch you and teach you and show you what it means to trust and follow Him. Find some place to serve. All right, man, that's just five places to start, okay? Don't drift. Don't drift this year. We must pay the most careful attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift. Don't drift. We want this to be a great year for you as you follow and walk with Jesus this year. Let us help. These things can help. There are many others. Let us help. Let us help you flourish this year as a follower of Jesus. Bless somebody sitting next to you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.